One of the toughest tasks a church faces is choosing a good minister. A member of an official board undergoing this painful process finally lost patience. He just witnessed the Pastoral Relations Committee reject an applicant after the applicant had some minor fault, real or imagined. It was time for a bit of soul searching on part of the committee. So he stood up and he read this letter purported to be from an applicant. Gentlemen, understanding your pulpit is vacant, I should like to apply for the position. I have many qualifications. I've been a preacher with much success and also have had some successes as a writer. Some say that I'm a good organizer. I've been a leader most places I've been. I'm over 50 years of age. That's a great year. No. I'm over 50 years of age and have never preached in one place for more than 3 years. In some places, I have left town after my work caused riots and disturbances. I must admit I've been in jail 3 or 4 times, but not because of any real wrongdoing. My health is not too good, though I still accomplish a great deal. The churches I've preached in have been small, though located in several large cities. I've not gotten along well with religious leaders in the towns where I have preached. In fact, some have threatened me and even attacked me physically. I'm not too good at keeping records. I've been known to forget whom I even baptized. However, if you can use me, I promise to do my best for you. The board member turned to the committee and said, "Well, what do you think? Shall we call him?" The good church folks were appalled. "Consider a sickly, troublemaking, absent-minded ex-jailbird." Was this board member crazy to bring this up? Who signed the application? Who had such colossal nerve? The board member eyed them all keenly before he replied, "It's signed, the Apostle Paul." We want this guy, right? I do want to talk about living strong on the battleground. And probably no better example, no better pattern of how that happens is through the Apostle Paul. As J. Vernon McGee likes to say, he's the man that talks about where the rubber meets the road. And Christianity is a rubber meet the road experience as you grow. And we're going to encounter some of that, I believe, over the next several weeks, talking with people who don't know Jesus and need to know him. And we have the greatest message on planet Earth. And I pray that your heart would be open to seeing how God would use you during this. That this isn't just for the brave people. This is for the weak people. It's for the scared people. As you watched in that little Gospel of John video, sharing your faith can be scary. But yet you can be equipped to do so because you have God backing you. So Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to just read these verses and then talk a few minutes about them. And hopefully we'll see why this is so important. We are in a series on spiritual warfare, and I think this sets a very perfect tone as we move through the rest of the series. Scripture says, "When we then, as workers together with him," being Jesus, "also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In an acceptable time, I have heard you. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown, yet all well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things." Wow. Yes. Wonderful. We need to see that this is a pattern. It's a pattern for living strong on the battleground. And we're covering the territory of spiritual warfare. And here is a portion of Scripture that will aid us, that will guide us in understanding how to prepare for Satan's assault and his attacks on those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, or those who are potentially being, your efforts could be thwarted in trying to reach people for the Lord. Remember that you love God because He first loved you. If you mix those two things up, and if you look at what we just read in the Scripture, anything else that puts our service or dedication ahead of loving Jesus first is usually a recipe for failure. Because we can love Him all day long, and we can serve Him out of duty. We'd rather serve Him out of delight. That's what I really believe. That's what Paul is establishing here, that he is serving his Lord out of delight. Most of us cannot even relate to the type of things that the apostle has gone through as he describes his character of those who would take him to task. And the book of 2 Corinthians is the apostle's defense of his ministry that was given to him by the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that road to Damascus. Saul is giving his hearty approval for the death of Christians. So he wasn't, this guy wasn't just, well, he had a little bit of God, and his intensity for serving God was so intense, but it was misdirected. He thought he was doing a good thing by killing those who claimed that they were serving the one who rose from the dead. The big theme on the book of Acts is the resurrection. And this is what's causing the uproar. They are worshiping the risen Jesus, the risen Christ. And Paul is trying to stop them from advancing to the point where Paul, or prior Saul, has an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus gets very personal. He says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" What do you do with that? So all the persecution that the apostle had brought prior to being the so-called selected apostle by the Lord Jesus, Saul of Tarsus, what do you do with that? Well, God commissions this man. Paul understands who he is persecuting, and he says, "What will you have me to do?" That is the right question. What will you have me to do? You and I should be wanting to ask the Lord, "What would you have me to do?" And so 2 Corinthians is Paul's defense of his ministry. It's a defense. He's demonstrating to his critics the difference between true apostleship and false apostleship. There are many people who profess to be religious or the truth, but no one has the backing that the gospel has, and that's the backing of the Lord Jesus, who we sang about it today. He spilt his blood for us. He was placed in a tomb, and he rose again. This is awesome news that never changes, always consistent, and right now God's holding this out for people to believe Jesus, to receive him. The problem is, do you realize that Satan is so strategic and he blinds the minds of the unbeliever? If you are an unbeliever today, you're like, I'm just here, but I don't really believe that, then you have to see from a scriptural standpoint, the scripture says that Satan has already blinded you. The Bible says that when you turn to the Lord, the veil is lifted. You can see. You can see what you could not see. I believe the Apostle Paul turned to the Lord that day, Saul of Tarsus. He looked. He understood. The veil was lifted. He recognized who truly he was persecuting. Jesus takes persecution of his church very seriously. He takes it very personally. So we want to pray for the persecuted church all over this world. You and I have it good here in America. But we should be willing to do what we can to bring the gospel to people, to bring this great and wonderful news. And God wants to give you and I protection for the battle. He recognizes this. Do you realize the description that we just read in 2 Corinthians 6 really is This cannot happen. This cannot happen without the help of the Holy Spirit. People want to just hold up, oh, the Apostle Paul is just this really dedicated guy. Boy, I wish I could be more like him. You know what? He says, follow me as I follow Christ. He's saying, think like me. If you like what you see, if you want to fulfill your ministry, then get the thinking of Paul to back your thinking and serve Jesus in the same way. This is how we move forward in progress, because we can't make it up. There isn't just multiple sets of instructions that we can just pick from. The scripture is clear of what we need to do. And so on the back of your bulletin, we're going to hold these points up. I believe verses 1 and 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 shows us that there has been a salvation that's already been provided. And that salvation is ultimately Christ, who continues to keep us saved. That's a saving power that Jesus has. He keeps us saved. And number 2, we are strengthened and supplied. Just kind of made a little bit of mention of that. I think you will see that in verses 3 through 8. And then this wonderful thing called the joy of living satisfied. What motivates you? What motivates me? There's a lot of things that we can be motivated by. It can be just this time of the year, a beautiful weather. Oh, yeah, finally, right? We're all just happy about that. But just, you know, being outside, being going places, being doing stuff. But what really provides you joy? What, when you think about what really makes me happy, is it a new iPhone? Is it a new something? Is it a new car? And I'm not saying any of these things are wrong. They're all fine. But I'll tell you, those things fade. They just, over time, it's like, this phone's a piece of junk. We start criticizing the things that we once loved. I mean, I'm just saying, you just get keeping it real. But what keeps you living satisfied? Because we are leaky vessels, and we will leak, and we will try to find so many things to try to fill that joy, to try to keep it lasting. And look at just what we've already prayed about this morning. Boom! You know, think about these 7 bikers barreling up the roads in New Hampshire, and all of a sudden, whack, completely over seconds. You know what I mean? These guys love riding bikes, and you guys who ride bikes, you know, I just be careful, right? But, you know, life is just very fragile. Deb said that very clearly. Life is very fragile. And in the meantime, what do? You know, are we living satisfied in the pursuit of just stuff? Are we really thinking about what God wants us to think about? Yes, He loves us, and He did put us here, and there are things to enjoy. But is all that He's given to you even now, are you using that for His purpose? It's awesome to hear this testimony about all these people cutting up credit cards and figuring, I can actually do something better with my money. Wonderful. This is good stuff. Verses 1 and 2, I'm going to have Chris put this back up under this first point there, the salvation that's been provided. See, one of the things you have to realize about the Apostle Paul, he wanted return on investment, ROI, right? Who likes to invest in people and then all of a sudden it changes? You see this happen in a marriage. People commit to a marriage and it's only a matter of a couple of years. Like, I'm done. I don't want to be married to him anymore. Well, hard sometimes, and I understand every marriage has different sets of circumstances, but relationships are investments. And I really believe what the apostle is saying, he is investing in these Corinthians with the truth and the record of the gospel, and they are understanding. And he says here, we then, as workers together with him, do you realize as a worker, you're a worker together with Jesus, the risen Savior, you're a worker with him. And we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Receiving the grace of God in vain may be actually coming to salvation than not developing. Finding other things in your life that are replacements for your true affection where they belong. It is exciting when I meet somebody who comes to faith in Christ and their enthusiasm for Jesus is intense. But it's usually about a 90-day period that happens where that war is now officially begun. It's war. And I've seen people who start strong and over a few weeks can find themselves discouraged. I try to talk to them about the Lord and they spit on me, or they told me to, you know, where to go, you know. And so people get discouraged. Oh, are you really going to believe that gospel message that salvation is completely free and offered by the Lord Jesus Christ, completely free, that every one of your sins can be completely removed by Him? Everything you've ever done, every filthy thing in your life, that Jesus takes that away freely and all I have to do is look to Him and receive Him? That's correct. And on that premise, salvation comes to that house. And so at that point, that person is now, I believe, entered a whole new domain where war happens. And we find ourselves sometimes, well, does it really matter? Is it like, can't we just all sort of, we could pull a Rodney King? Can't we all just get along? And we like that. Who wants to be in conflict? Right? We're not talking about unnecessary conflict. But when you're going to stand for truth, you need to know how to do that. I'm pointing the finger right back at me, okay? I, too, can find myself, you want to be liked, you want to be the hot stuff and all this, but I'm going to press this thing. So we want to make sure that we understand that the salvation that you and I need was provided to us by God. But it's important that as we lead people to Christ and we help them to develop, that we insist. There's some things you could do that will really help you grow. There are some things that are necessary for your development. And the apostle saying, because now you're listening to these false teachers, I'm wondering if you've received this grace in vain. In other words, you've become in one sense useless. That's the idea. This word for vain translates to useless without content. So in other words, it's not really having the effect that it should have. Now, that's a growth issue. But if we give our loyalties and our affections to things that are going to keep our mind on the things of earth, right? I love the song that says, the things on earth will grow strangely dim in light of His glory and grace. That's why you and I have to keep looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. You can never exhaust knowing and learning more about Jesus, nor can I. As you get to know Him, and Deb, your testimony was strong because to me it was no matter what you've been through in your life and some really challenging stuff, you've kept your eyes on Christ and you said, He's never forsaken me. See, it's what happens is we're sometimes shocked that this life can be so painful. Guess what? Jesus knows He came to a painful world. And that's why He provided a perfect salvation. And the message is get on the bus. That bus is making a stop to your heart. Are you getting on? And that bus is heading towards heaven. Are you getting on? You got to get on now. You can't get on later. You can't say, hey, I missed the bus. When salvation comes knocking, and that's what the scripture says, it's pointing all the way back to Isaiah chapter 49. Paul using an example to the Jewish people, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. What's the acceptable time? Right now. In the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Guess what? Every day is the day of salvation for the believer. Oh, yes, we settle the fact that you've placed your sins on Christ and you know that that's where they are. But guess what? I need an ongoing salvation that keeps us encouraged. That's your life being preserved. Salt can't lose its saltiness. You want to lose your saltiness? Take your eyes off of Jesus. Even when you completely fail and wipe out, keep your eyes on Jesus. You'll never go wrong with keeping your eyes fixed on Him. And that's what happens. False teachers get your eyes off of the Savior, the completed work, the true righteousness, the gift of free eternal life, the kindness of God. That's why you can thank the Lord even when it's a rainy week. It's still a good day with Jesus. It's still a good day. And I've talked to people even this last week just rejoicing how God's been providing for them in different ways, not expecting that to go just that way. But they're calling me like, Pastor Dave, this is amazing. Like, I can't believe how this is happening. See, I believe when we keep our eyes on Christ, we get energized to keep serving Him. If we take our eyes off of Jesus, and I think that's what Paul is saying here, he is showing his clear perspective of how to keep eyes fixed. We talked about that a couple of weeks. Remember when it says in Genesis chapter 6, just before the flood's going to come, right? Noah's going to build this ark, and God's spirit is grieved. He says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is for that he is also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. In those days was the average lifespan in Noah's time. So you have to realize that the patience of God, some of you are probably going to make it to 120. I'm just confident, right? I just know it. But it should, you know, we want to keep serving the Lord, but you just think that God's Spirit, God's kindness, God's mercy has a point that it changes, it ends, because God is ultimately about wrapping up. And that's why you can't delay getting right with the Lord. And I know many of you have, and I'm so thankful for that. I know many of you know that you're in Christ this morning, and for that I'm thankful. And I would just, there's several people in this room, even after this service, if you don't know Christ. I know Brother Mark's here. Mark, raise your hand. Mark loves to lead people to Christ. He's into it, right? Dennis loves to lead people to Christ. Brother Ed loves to lead people to Christ. Ginny and Kevin love to lead people to Christ. And so if there's somebody here this morning, I'm myself included, I would delight to pray with you if you don't know the Lord personally. Salvation is a continual process. Plateauing can happen. It happens. People give up. They just get into the worldly ways, and they forget. It's happened to a lot of us at times. We lose our way. Satan is a master crafter, and he loves lies and deceits. He loves to bait us, get us to think that, you know, there's something other than true righteousness that comes from Christ. But Paul talks about in this point number two, it should be up on the screen, strengthened and supplied. Paul would say here, we give no offense in anything. Listen, I've been in churches where they have been so focused on legalistic behavior, you can't do anything, you can barely breathe. You can barely breathe, and yet it misses the point. Paul is not saying we want to bind you up in all this legalism. What we don't want to do, we don't want to create all these rules for the Christian. A lot of people, Christians don't have fun. Oh yeah, I have a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun. I just enjoy what God has given. I just enjoy the salvation that he's given. I enjoy being unencumbered. I enjoy hearing what's happening when people give up living debt-ridden and all that stuff. There's some great stuff that can come through Christ in our lives, and we should be so thankful that he changes us. But Paul's saying here, we give no offense in anything. This isn't just always just trying to be the goody-two-shoes everywhere you go. I mean, come on, he's saying this because this salvation is so great, and we don't want anyone to miss this, that our ministry may not be blamed. See, that's why integrity matters. I was realizing that this week, how important integrity really is. If we blow our integrity, yeah, God's still there. We just don't let that take you off, an occasional train wreck. Don't let that derail you. There's a lot of people, a lot of Christians will have a train wreck. But the point is, our integrity matters because people know that we talk about this wonderful God who gives away free salvation, and he wants to save people. And people wind up looking at us. They wind up thinking about us. So Paul's emphasis here, and give no offense to any, this isn't just wrap yourself up in a bunch of rules and don't breathe. This is use what you have for the ministry so that there'll be no accusation. I've been following a little bit of a story of a pastor who's been through some real rough time out in Chicago. It's a sad story. I don't know how much of it's true. Some of it seems like a lot has gone bad in this pastor's life. My heart breaks for him. I just want to pray for him. But you see how Satan is very crafty. That's why we are so wise to be a praying church. We are so wise to be here Wednesday nights praying. Even if you're weak in prayer, what that's saying is, we're dependent upon you, and we want to trust you. I believe Paul's ministry was empowered by prayer because he knew the resurrected Jesus Christ, that same power, he says, that raises Jesus from the dead, lives and abides in every believer. This is a sweet celebration. You are in a place today that if you have Christ, you have everything. You have everything you need for life and godliness. Jesus will never take his hand off your life. Now, you may squelch his spirit from working in your life, and it happens all the time. We want to guard against that. That's why Paul is saying, but in all these things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience. Where's this going to come from? Not you. It's going to come from the Holy Spirit. In tribulations, in needs, in distresses. Yeah, hang out with people in distress. Be a paramedic day after day after day. You talk about this isn't stressful. These people need the Holy Spirit. My God bless you. I pray that that word of God that is now in these fire departments, that these guys will get more of this word. Because that's what people in stress and difficulty truly need. That's what we all need in ministry. We all need that as we talk about our church growing and expanding. And what's next? You think that's going to be easy? Do you think moving a church at any point in its future is ever going to be an easy process? This cannot all fall on the pastor's family. We're going to need a lot of people. And we are so thankful for the people that are stepping up to serve in this church. And until the Lord leads us in a different direction, we're going to serve Him hard and well here. And I say thank you. Thank you for your service to Christ here. Thank you, because you are investing in things that matter. So all these things, in patience, in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes. Matter of fact, Paul got 40 of them, I believe, on several occasions, just beating the daylights out of his flesh. Imprisonments, in tumults. I don't know if you've been watching what's going on in Hong Kong. 2 million out of 7 million people protesting over some extradition that's happening, because Hong Kong operates differently than the rest of China, and yet these people are rising up. And there's just a lot. I mean, 2 million people rising up, speaking their voice. And we live in a day that democracy is really challenged. And so, I mean, the apostle, he could just remember, these are just big crowds, big pushback. I mean, he's trying to bring the gospel, and they are surrounding him. I mean, just think of what this apostle went through in labors. He says, I outworked all the other apostles. He actually says in one portion of scripture, I have outworked them all. And look at his history. Look from about Acts chapter 9 through the end of the book. This guy's going through tremendous, tremendous work so that people would know this grace that you and I are standing here today because of his faithfulness to Jesus Christ. God tasking him. Paul submitted to the Holy Spirit to accomplish the work, and you and I get the benefit of about 14 epistles for our benefit when it comes to the church. This is fabulous. He says, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God. Do you see this? By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. He is well strengthened and supplied for the work that is in front of him, and so you and I should be. We should see ourselves in a continual place of need. And don't ever stop asking for God to give you another filling of his Spirit for you to do what you need to do. That's the way a church grows. I am just so thankful that I see a continual trusting dedication in this church, that every single Sunday, week after week, every bottom that's in a chair right now, people worked hard to get this place ready once again. People worked so that this place would be ready, that we're ready with what I do, with what we do with visuals, what we do with singing. This stuff doesn't magically appear on screens, right? So does this in any way resonate with you this morning? Is this your own heart's cry, Lord? I want to be like this. I want to, no matter what circumstance I'm in, I want to have purity. You know, this is the time of the year, men, when women are scantily clad, whatever, clothed, at beaches. Well, if that's a problem for you, get your eyes off the beach. All right? This is a place where you have to, you know, when Paul talks about purity, you know, as I remember years ago when I was working with Iron Sharpens Iron, they talked about the invasion of pornography in the lives of men. This is somebody's daughter, okay? This is somebody's daughter. This is a human being. They're not a sexual object. This is stuff that we just sometimes, we just trample on. Human beings trample on sacredness, and Paul's talking about this importance of purity. Purity in thinking. When you serve people, do you serve them because you love them? Do you serve them because God's put a special love in there for them? No matter who it is, somebody at the grocery store, the cashier, you name it, wherever you are, the person at the deli. I mean, we are so impatient sometimes. You too? Okay. How come that gas guy can't pump it any quicker? This gas pump doesn't work. You know, we don't leave enough time for stuff. I'm just telling on myself a little bit. All right? Try not to do this stuff, but it can still creep in there. And this is moving in the right direction. This isn't us just trying to be perfect and legalistic about everything. You start analyzing every motive you have, you don't go there. Just keep in mind, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, it's Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That should be your marching orders every day. All of us. Get up and say, you know what, I belong to him. I belong to him. And I want this life. I don't matter what I have to deal with, this long nights or whatever I'm going through right now, sleeplessness, fastings. Paul fasted. I believe Paul fasted out of necessity, not just because he gave up TV, right? People are like, I have an electronics fast. Well, that's good and all that. I think Paul fasted out of necessity, perhaps just because he didn't have maybe the resources. So he had to rely upon God. He had to rely upon the Lord's faithfulness in providing for him. He talked about being well fed and being in need. You need sometimes, you're going to be fasting. I talk to people who left their phone 500 miles back at home. It's like you're automatically in an instant fast. All right? I'm convulsing. I'm shaking. This device is no longer with me. You know, it doesn't feel good. You know, how dependent we become on these things. Sometimes we should plan a fast. Maybe it's a plan for a fast from social media or something like that, just so that you might spend more time with the Lord. By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that's right there, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. Sincere love doesn't flow out of our lives naturally. We can be loving, no question, but real sincere love that is really thinking about what is best, and I think that's what Paul captures here. That's a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. That's why when you read, if God be for me, who could be against me? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously give us all things? Not everything we want, but he'll give us what we need. God knows what we need. I'm amazed at how God's provided for this church. It's wonderful. I'm just so thankful for that clean house financial report. You know, how people just, you know, wind up getting a glimpse for, wow, what we could do. You know, ministries work no matter what. It's sacrifice, it's time, it's money, it's God empowering us to do, just to do what he calls us to do, and then we want to be faithful with that. But the real mission for the church today is making sure that people know Christ and they're growing up in that grace. Because that's what creates your time on earth so much more meaningful, so much better. Nothing done, as one person says, you know, everything done I can't get it fully straight here. Some of you know this one. You know, the things that are really going to last are the things that were done for Christ, right? It's a little rhymey thing. But in the real future of our service and our serving God now has eternal consequences, wonderful eternal consequences. I've been talking with Amanda about the goodness of God, and I've been reading Romans 8:28, and some of you know that. And it says that, for we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Guess what his purpose is? His primary purpose in my life and yours is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. God's about perfection. Jesus is perfect. If you're in Christ, you're on the road to perfection. Perfect perfection for all eternity. Like, you can look in that mirror and you can say, you know what? It's only going to get better. It's going to look worse for a little while, but I'm maturing. And so anything that's broken apart, so many people get, oh, this didn't go my way. You know, God really better you know, come through for me. How dare us? He already came through for you and me in so many ways. Just look at the cross. See, this is why I believe the apostle could speak so firmly and so succinctly about what this really is. In other words, I'm willing to suffer all things because I want the people at Grace Lighthouse Fellowship in 2019 to know Jesus Christ. So that's what this is about. So this is what's at stake. So all of that we do, all of how we serve, all of our future is with the Lord. And God is good all the time, no matter what. All the time, he's good. He's just worthy of our praise and worship. Just look at Jesus. You'll never, ever forget how good he's already been to you. I love him. He's awesome. And see how Paul says in these closing verses, verses 9 and 10, living satisfied, as unknown yet well known. In other words, we go to places, they don't have a clue of who we are. You might give a gospel out to somebody, they don't know who you are. In other words, you're just some religious nut. Well, no, you're not. As Mike says, this is the word of God and you need to listen. Famous words of our chaplain, Mike Mangum. No, this is not religion, this is the word of God. And they listen to him. I love the way Mike said it. He says, you know what? I don't even think I want to give you a Bible. The guy's like, why? You know. So sometimes you got to play hard to get a little bit, right? As unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live. In other words, some of us are going to die serving the Lord. We're going to have health issues. We're going to have struggles. We're going to just, you know, it's going to be like I burnt out. I burnt out for the Lord. Okay, whatever. Right? I'm not saying that that's not important. We should know how to balance our lives and do the things. But some of us are going to, God knows ultimately when we go to be with him. And I'm trusting him for that. Whatever, I pray I get to be with you guys another 50 years. Celebrate my 100th. All right? You too. You be 125. No. But it really doesn't matter. It's, you know, it's people who say, you know, I want to serve him. I want to be faithful. As dying and behold, we live. In other words, I know I live. I live now. I am living now as chastened. Sometimes we have to accept the fact that God's going to correct us. He will correct us. He corrects every child of his. In other words, just to make you have a better welcoming ceremony when you see him. Isn't that awesome? That's just so wonderful. You know, so it always. Sometimes we're going to go through stuff, and I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I almost died." He says, "Yet not killed." Right? I mean, you talk about Paul's shipwrecks. You think about the sickness, being bit by a snake. I mean, if you really want to read an exciting story, read through the book of Acts. This is fun. This is better than any movie. This is good stuff. I mean, this is singing in prison and having the jail cell opened up and the jailer is freaking out that who opened this prison doors and how do these shackles fall off, and the guy's about to stick his own sword through his chest because he knows he's a dead man. He goes, what must I do to be saved? Paul's like, don't do that. Don't take your life. What must I do to be saved? He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Wow. Some pretty intense moments in the book of Acts. He says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. You know that when you bring someone to Jesus Christ, you gave them the biggest wealth investment ever. You gave them perfect righteousness, and they said, I want it. I want that. And next Sunday in our service, we want to talk a little about that. Maybe a little bit of role playing. Maybe about what does a simple gospel presentation look like. We're going to set out extra chairs next Sunday. You ready? Dennis Clough, Director of Evangelism. All right, we're going to have a wonderful Sunday school and worship service next Sunday. He says, having nothing yet possessing all things. Do you know what you possess in Jesus? You possess immense wealth. That's why God can use us to make many rich. Because there's no grace like his grace. There's no goodness like his. That's why Paul would say in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Wow. Wow. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You are well protected in Christ. I pray if anyone here this morning doesn't know for sure if you're in Christ, please see me. I would love to pray with you. Others are here to pray with you this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the hope of how to stand strong on the battleground. We thank you for the apostles' clear teaching us about what it's going to take for us to really grow, that we can't pretend at this. We don't got it without you. We can't manufacture this stuff without a true reliance upon the Spirit of God. And we thank you, Lord, as the grace of God gets a hold of us mightily, as we understand this more and more, that we would have a greater grasp of just how magnificent it really is, that we would renew ourselves in this most holy faith. I leave room this morning for someone here, Lord, who's never placed their faith in you, anybody here this morning, just be a simple slip up of your hand. I don't know Christ personally, and I want to today. Anybody here this morning says, that's me. That is me. And I want to know him personally. Anyone this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your kindness to this church. We ask you to continue to lead us and help us. Show us your direction for the future. Please be leading us to people who need to know about you, that we would not be ashamed of this. Paul is very clear, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. Thank you, Lord, for your saving power. Help us to be preparing ourselves even now for opportunities that will come our way these next couple weeks. Thank you, in Jesus' name.
This world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now.
Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. All right, if you put your eyes up on the screen for just a second, this is happy birthday to the June babies, and there's a little cake in the other room and some leftover, no longer in credit card debt cake in the other room. So if your name is Gail, Eric, Chris, that's Chris Joyce, Linda, Susan, Callie, Astrid, Bill Crandall, Joni, Linda, oh, I have another Linda, okay, Ginny, and Louise Davis, happy birthday, and have some of your cake.